Where's the French connection now in West Africa? Troops are being withdrawn from Mali after a 9-year mission. Other European countries also leaving. So who will fill the vacuum in a volatile region? And what does it mean for the people of Mali? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Sami Zeidan. 9 years ago, the people of Mali lined the streets to welcome French troops who had arrived to stop an insurrection. But today, waving a French flag is seen as a symbol of colonialism and oppression. The relationship between the two countries doesn't look like it's getting any better. Mali's military government expelled the French ambassador to Bamako after his foreign minister called the junta illegitimate and out of control. French troops are now preparing to quit the country on the order of President Emmanuel Macron. Mali has also told Danish soldiers to leave, and the continued presence of German troops under a UN peacekeeping mission is in doubt. But Russian private military contractors from the Wagner Group are staying. That's leaving EU powers uneasy. The contractors are accused of exploiting Mali's resources in exchange for protecting the junta. But Malians are tired of the insecurity in their country. They say 9 years of French intervention has only served European interests, and they want an end to the French connection. President Emmanuel Macron warned against Russian contractors stationed in Mali.
These mercenaries have been in Libya for years to capture resources and what should go to the Libyan people. They're actually leaving the country. They've been deployed in the Central African Republic for several years and have committed horrific crimes against civilians that the UN have reported. They're coming to Mali with predatory ambitions. But why? Because the junta in power in Mali, after two coups, considers they are the best partners they can find to consolidate their power, not to fight terrorism.
We'll introduce our guests in a moment. But first, let's look at the last decade of European military intervention in the Sahel region. In 2012, Tuareg separatists took over large parts of northern Mali. Al-Qaeda and ISIL-linked fighters also entered the region. In January of the following year, former colonial power France sent in troops to get rid of those groups. But after struggling for 9 years, France announced it would end its operation early in 2022. Danish soldiers in Mali have also been told to leave immediately, and Sweden says its troops will leave in March. In Germany, members of parliament have questioned the presence of its soldiers in Mali as part of the UN peacekeeping mission MINUSMA. Well, let's bring our guests into the show. We have joining us from Saint-Malo in France, Jacques Relland. He's a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute. From Accra in Ghana, Kwaku Danso is a research fellow at the Kofi Annan International Peacekeeping Training Center. And on the line from Bamako in Mali, we're joined by Niankoro Ye Samake, a politician and former diplomat. Welcome to you all. If I could start with Kwaku. So why have relations broken down, Kwaku, between Mali and France?
Thank you very much. Well, I think for a number of reasons. First of all, I think the French presence in Mali has become increasingly unpopular. Since the deployment of the forces in Mali, you know, the number of violent extremist attacks have been on a steady increase. And people have the perception that French, with all the sophisticated military capacities that it has, should be able to address that situation. But this has not been the case, and people's expectations have not been met.
Rather, even so, Kwaku, even if the French are not performing as Malians hoped, the rather bitter exchange of words is something else, isn't it? How do we explain that?
Yes, so relationship between the two partners, if I can call them partners, but the regime in Mali and Paris have been strained in recent times, particularly given the refusal of the junta in Mali to comply with regional norms and principles to return the country into constitutional rule. So aside from that, the emergence of the Wagner Group on the scene is a development that is not acceptable to the French, who are not prepared to cohabitate with these mercenaries. So that strained relationship has been at the heart of the recent development and therefore the decision of the French to pull out.
They've also had some words to say, the French have had some words to say about the legitimacy of those in charge of Mali right now who came to power through a coup. Jacques, in France, why can France work with an administration which came to power through a coup in Chad, but not Mali? Why can they work? Well, they're accused of working to support Khalifa Haftar, who's also backed by the Wagner Group, and that can work in Libya, but the similar scenario doesn't work in Mali. Why?
It's a good question. Indeed, because it shows that that's one of the reasons why there's this anti-French feeling that France is playing a double game, is the fact that France tries to promote the idea of democratic governments, imposes democratic conditions on governments it wants to help, while at the same time backing the coup in Chad when the president Déby was killed, died, his son replaced him without an election and so on, and the French said amen to that. So it's true. But the situation in Mali is that is slightly different. France was very present in Mali, and at the same time, the government that came through to the two putsches of 2020 and 2021, who had promised to hold elections after, by already this year, normally we should have had election this year, have decided they would keep power for 5 years, and they had the feeling that this junta in power with the president Maga and Goïta are keen on getting rid of the French, that they want to put an end to the French presence. They made the cooperation impossible very difficult between the French forces and the Malian army. And therefore, I think that now they've approached, actually, they're keener for a rapprochement with Russia. At the moment, it's not officially with Russia, but let's not forget that when Mali became independent in 1961, they were backed strongly by the Soviet Union of the time, and some of their generals have been trained by the Russian army, so they have close links with the Russian army. And they thought that actually, maybe there was an attempt maybe to change alliance within by Mali, and therefore felt not welcomed anymore. They could see that the anti-French feeling was developing in the country, which had been whipped up by social networks and by the current authorities. It made their situation untenable. Having been an army of liberation, they are now considered as an army of occupation. They're accused of promoting the partition of the country, following events like going back to in Kidal, when the French cleared the jihadists in the Kidal area but did not allow the Malian troops to intervene. So France is accused of double standards, but at the same time, they admit the accusation that they were not fighting jihadism is completely wrong, because they have had quite a lot of success on the ground. The problem for France now is that jihadism, yes, they have some military success. It's not a military failure at all. It's a political failure. What's happening is that in spite of the fight against jihadism, Islamism is spreading through Malian society along with the anti-French feeling.
All right, we'll talk in a minute more about whether or not it's perceived as a military victory or failure. But if we can bring Niankoro into the discussion, why have those who are in power in Mali right now, why are they leaning more towards, apparently, at least this Russian mercenary group or other powers, and away from France?
Well, the number one reason would be results. We, after 9 years of failed policies, military strategies, Malians have, you know, been burying our civilians and military personnel. We wanted to diversify our partnership, and France didn't see this eye to eye. And they played a paternalistic role, saying that we dictate to a sovereign nation what we think is right or not right.
All right, but I'm sure you're aware, if I can jump in, Niankor, I'm sure Malian authorities are aware of the accusations surrounding some of the operations of Wagner groups in the Central Africa Republic, in other places, and allegations of human rights abuses. If the feeling in Mali was we're tired of burying our civilians, are those that the Malians are now looking at really the solution to end abuse of civilians?
You know, the French troops have committed horrific actions against civilians in Mali, and recently, and it has happened in Bounty, where they kill people celebrating weddings, and you know, horrific crimes are looked into depending on who committed. So we don't think that dichotomy will work well in this situation. So this is not about the nationality or superpowers playing their role. We want security. We want to secure our borders. We want to secure our people. So the decision coming from our authorities are not based on how France perceives who our partners or not. This is based on how can we get rid of the violent crimes that are being committed in the northern part and in the center of Mali. And right. The decision is solely based on that. And we want partnership where the people of Mali are respected, where the authorities are respected. And those are some of the things that led to the breakup between Mali and the French authorities.
All right, let me bring Kwaku back into the discussion. Is French evolving, French policy towards West Africa evolving? I mean, there was a time when if France didn't like a government, there would be a coup and France would be accused of orchestrating it, right? Now we're just seeing them walk away, at least militarily.
Well, so I think the difference between the two scenarios is the fact that the actors in the theater simply do not appear to have a harmony of interest. So previously, any regime, whether it was through a military intervention or not, that was sustained by France, was a regime that had some sort of harmony of interest. But in this case, it appears the harmony of interest between Paris and Bamako is missing. Rather, I think the Wagner Group, and for that matter, Russia, appear to provide them with multiple choices that otherwise was lacking.
And also, so is French influence decreasing, do you think, Kwaku?
Say that again, please.
Do you think French influence is decreasing, Kwaku?
Well, I think the French influence over the year has waned, has declined, and part of it relates to the results that my other colleague spoke about. And also there's this perception that there is, you know, France has an interest in having the regime or the government in Mali need them. And that explains the reason why they have not been very committed in bringing the insurgencies and extremist attacks to an end. Because for so long as the violence persists, that so long can you expect to have the French in the region? Mm-hmm. And so all these perceptions have combined to influence the decision being taken by the regime, and for that matter, the relationship between Paris and Bamako.
Jacques, do you think the French withdrawal is going to leave a vacuum that anyone else can fill? Can the Wagner Group fill that vacuum?
No, in fact, no, we can't fill that vacuum, that's for sure. What's going to happen after that? That's a big question. First, I would like also to add that if the situation is very difficult in Mali, it's not just due to the French. There's been a big failure of governance, and we know that the army has been accused of exactions by its people, that there's a lot of corruption, that public services are not present on the ground. So as a result of that, the influence of jihadist groups, the development of Sharia as a way to administer justice in the area is spreading as a result of the failure of the Malian states. And that's why this failure, the failure of Mali, is more a political failure than a military failure. You can't accuse the French of not having killed enough jihadists. They've done the job in that sense. The problem is that the Malian state hasn't followed. And now that we have this junta in power, who calls on Wagner not to help Mali so much, but to protect them, to enable them to stay in power, to protect them from further coups. That's the main aim. Well, okay, France-Africa now, of the old France-Afrique of the 70s, 80s, 90s, under Mitterrand, Chirac, and all that, the close links, it's coming to an end, and Macron wants it. But at the same time, the main interest for France is to protect the countries which are economically very powerful, such as the Ivory Coast, and protect countries and Benin and on the Guinea, on the Gulf of Guinea. And that's why the French are not withdrawing, they're relocating. And they are relocating based on...
Let me jump in, Jacques, because you mentioned a very important point there, which is the failure of the state. Let me take that point to Niankoro. Are the authorities in Mali overlooking what Jack is analysing there, that a big part of the problem is the failure of the state to provide good governance for its people? That's why armed groups are increasing in their influence.
You know, it's a total misconception of what is going on, and that is the mistake that many are making. Yes, we need better governance in Mali, but the security situation, the mandate under which French troops are in Mali here, the reason why MINUSMA, the UN peacekeeping forces are here, they have a clearly defined mandate. And of course, French has failed to provide the terms of its mandate for being here in Mali, containing jihadists, protecting the people, and helping the government of Mali restructure our military. The fundamental reason is we had failure of governance, and that's why the junta came into power following 6 months of protests of millions of Malians demanding better governance. And France has come and praised the first part of this transition, saying that they've done in 3 months what the 7 years of previous governance has done. But the minute the transition authorities have decided that they know what's best for our people and they're protecting the best interests of
okay,
our people.
Okay, let me pose this question to you, though, Niankoro. If the security job wasn't being done properly with the French, who will do it better without the French? Who will... I mean, the French did provide an ability or a network for several countries to work together across borders, right? Nigeria, Cameroon, Chad, Niger.
Well, you know, we did not ask the French to leave. The French decided to leave because they don't want to work with us under our terms. They want to dictate the terms of partnering with us. And that is the reason why they...
The Malian authorities did call upon them to leave as soon as possible, though, as well, didn't they?
After they decided to leave, and they said, we're going to leave within a certain number of months, and that was not acceptable for the people of the government of Mali and the people of Mali. So our will should be respected. If you want to break unilaterally your relationship with us, you do it responsibly and take off, and not say we're going to prolong our stay while you're telling the whole world that you have decided to leave Mali. And that does not work either. But coming back to the primary question of whether what the French leaves, what will happen? Mali has hosts of other partnerships that we will develop. We'll work inside, and our army today is actually doing the job. They are retaking the bases that France has left. We are containing and pushing on the assailants right now, it has never happened before.
So okay, let me jump in, because I can see Jacques is shaking his head in disagreement. Let me give him a brief opportunity to come in on that. Jacques, go ahead.
I'm amazed at what I hear. You know, it's so removed from so far from the truth, saying that now the Malian army, etc., is doing a great fight against jihadists in the north and so on. No, as you know, it's not true. But okay, now
they say they're making progress. They say they're making progress.
Maybe
we are making progress, and this denial is not going to help the situation. This is a denial that French has
maybe
failed.
Maybe you're making progress, and I hope so. All I wish for.
All right, let's give 10 seconds to Jacques to finish up his comments uninterrupted, and then we'll come back to you, Niancoro. Go ahead, Jacques.
Oh, but at the same time, France is not abandoning the fight against jihadist terrorism in the area. They are relocating. They are going to be acting from Niger and from Chad, and therefore will retain. They have many bases in the area, going as far south as the Ivory Coast,
right,
but some Chad, in Niger, in Burkina Faso.
They're moving on.
Able to carry on the fight against jihadist groups.
I promise the Ankara will give him more well. Let me give the Ankara a go ahead.
His point of view is very biased and unreal. We are on the ground here. This is about Mali. No one is going to tell us what's working and what's not. That's the reason why we, first of all, expelled the ambassador of France to Mali, because of the lack of respect and the paternalistic partnership that the French government.
All
we
right.
don't have anything against the French people, but the government's behavior and the policy that they're having, Africa is changing, and they may or may not have refuge in those countries.
Okay, all right. You've made the point clear. Clearly, there are different perspectives on what's happening on the ground. Let's take it, if we can, now to Kwaku and ask this question. The bigger picture, is there a cycle of deterioration of life for people in Mali? Is that the big picture here? Security was a challenge. There's been a coup. None of that can be good for the economy. None of that can be good for governance, right? Civilian authorities pushed out. People were unhappy even with civilian authority.
Yes, so the issue of governance remains a major challenge, and it is at the heart of most of the other challenges we are witnessing, which are basically a manifestation of the, you know, governance crisis across the continent. But yet again, I think we need to look beyond just the internal dynamics, critical though those factors are. We also need to look at the system-wide challenges, right? Particularly looking at, so we were talking about the French presence earlier. To what extent has the French contributed in enhancing issues of governance in Mali? I think the French have had a lot of influence over the leadership in Mali since independence, but then to what extent have their contribution helped in terms of enhancing governance in the country and therefore preventing developments such as coup d'etats and so on and so forth? Because I think one significant factor we should take into account is the fact that the recent coups that have happened in Mali, in Burkina Faso, in Guinea and other places have been coups that are very popular. And for me, that is particularly troubling. If you have a coup d'etat that is receiving massive support from the population, then it tells you there's a lot that is problematic with the style of governance that we have in the region.
Okay.
And I think we need a systemic approach to addressing the problem. The
All
fact
right.
that the French have been on the ground for the past 9 years
to solving the problems. Let's end on that note, a slightly optimistic one looking forward. Let's hope they find that approach that helps solve some of those problems in a more effective way. For now, we are out of time, so we're going to have to thank our guests. Thank you very much to Niancoro Yeah-Samake, Jacques Relland, and Kwaku Danso. And thank you too for watching. You can see the show again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, head over to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle there is @AJInsideStory. From me, Sami Zeidan, and the whole team here in Doha, for now, it's goodbye.